afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Tuesday, November 27th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. I guess you're good and warm and safe and all that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm really pleased to let the listeners know we have Greg Hunter joining us today, Butch.
USA
Watchdog.com. He's going to join us today right after the market report, and I'm always happy to have him. He's just so full of information, and you know, he gives a lot of hope to the listeners with what's going on in, you know, in Trump world, I guess, and so we're always very happy to have him here. And let me go ahead and start with the market prices. And you know, I am going to ask him about this. I mean, we all heard about General Motors yesterday,
right,
laying off, and today President Trump said that he's going to consider pulling the subsidies after the company announced those layoffs and so forth. And he has threatened other companies to do this. It's not quite sure how much benefits GM gets from the federal government. Of course, they bailed them out of their bankruptcy and so forth. And you know what? It's kind of like, it's good to hear this. It's good to hear government say, we're not going to give you money anymore. But in the meantime, we shouldn't have been giving them money.
There you go. That's the whole point.
I don't want government in with business.
No.
I get conflicting thoughts about this. Because one minute, it's great to hear somebody say, you know, but if GM came back and says, well, we're not going to close plants, blah, 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 they'd still get their subsidies.
But that, Melody, that's our money. That's our money.
I mean, it is.
Let GM make their own way. I have a hard time making my way here.
I agree. Government shouldn't be involved at all.
Amen.
And so it's, but we did have the Dow and the S&P. They rose a little bit today on hopes of the U.S.-China trade deal. I think there's going to be a trade deal because everyone's coming out from the administration and saying there isn't going to be one. And that's kind of the operation, what do they call it? The M.O.,
modus operandi. Okay.
Thank you very much. It's kind of the MO.
SOP. Standard operating procedure. Okay.
Yes. That's what we pretty much have seen when it came to the NAFTA and all the other agreements. Everybody, you hear all these reports that it's not going to get done, and then all of a sudden things got done. So I expect the same thing. So anyway, we did see the Dow and the S&P rise. Gold today, we had some pressures on gold. Let's see. We have gold down. It was down about $7 today at 1215. Silver was down 7 cents at 1422. Platinum was down $10 at 837, and palladium was up 1 at 1152. The USDX today was up 31 at 97.36. Crude oil was up 13 at 51.76. You're going to have to do most of the talking with Greg Hunter today. My allergies are striking back.
I understand that. No problem. With Greg, it's not hard because he's a walking encyclopedia.
He certainly is. The Dow, and our producer Todd will let us know when Greg is on the line, but the Dow was up 100 points today, 108 at 24,748. The NASDAQ, basically unchanged, 7,082. The S&P was up 8 at 2,682. 10-year yield, 3.06. And let's see. What Bitcoin to do? It was up a little over 1% at 3707.
By the way, did you hear Ohio's going to let them pay their taxes with Bitcoin?
Pardon?
Ohio State, is going to let people pay taxes with Bitcoin.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, really think about it. It's like a credit card. What's the difference? Neither one of them worth anything.
How many people do you really think is actually going to pay their taxes in Bitcoin?
Idea. But I just thought it interesting that they will allow that. I thought it was really interesting. But it's just a digital computer, just like credit card is.
Yeah, but perhaps. But, you know, I don't know. It's I don't know how it would work and so forth. You know, at least they're getting into the, you know, people's pockets that have Bitcoin.
Right.
So, you know, is it a way to open that door? But I don't know. It would have been a bad day if they would have, somebody paid their taxes 3 days ago and, you know, or a week ago and, you know, Bitcoin's down, what, 30%, I believe. But anyway, we've got Mr. Greg Hunter on the line with us from USAWatchdog.com.
Hey, Melody, please. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Who do you have with you today?
Butch Paul.
It's Pastor Butch, nobody important, just
me. Pastor Bo Butch, okay, Pastor Butch, how you doing?
I'm
good
doing
to
fine,
see you.
Sir.
Good to hear you. How you all doing?
I'm doing great. I have no complaints, had a great week off of Thanksgiving, enjoy myself, got to go hunting a bit, got a buck and a doe, and I'm doing pretty good.
Got a buck and a doe, good for you.
I did.
You had tags for both those bad boys?
Do I now?
Yeah. Did you have to buy separate tags for both those?
No,
I
hunt on landowner. On the land, so you don't need a license to hunt on your own land.
Oh, where's that?
West Virginia.
Oh, West Virginia. How many acres you have there, buddy?
Oh, a little over 100.
Sweet!
It's all woods and rocks and dirt, but it's land. They're not making any more land.
That's it. There you go. There you go. How are y'all doing?
Just great.
Are you talking about this General Motors thing?
Yes, we were.
I'll tell you, you know, there's an analyst out there that said that, and I'm going to paraphrase, if they could really get a pie in the face, General Motors, if they do this move, and I don't understand why they would get rid of the Impala. I mean, they finally got that car
right. That's a mainstay.
And you're going to get rid of that car. I can understand the Cruze and the Volt. I can understand that. And but boy, Trump. Did you see their stock vaulted higher? And Trump started tweeting, and oh my God, it fell back to earth. I mean, whatever little bounce they got, it came almost all the way back when he was talking about how we bailed them out and they're not cutting production in Mexico and China. And my wife sat there and watched this, and we buy General Motors cars. And she went, well, it looks like that's the last General Motors car we're buying. And I didn't argue with her. I have an Impala.
They're good cars.
I didn't argue with her.
They're good cars.
Yeah, I mean, that's just really, Mary Barra better really think this through. You really better think this through, Mary, because you don't. They're going to end the subsidies for their Volt, which would kill the car. There's some more, you know, that they're talking about killing it anyway. So why would they keep subsidizing it while they, you know, pay themselves big money? And they got plants in China and Mexico, and you're going to keep building cars there, but you're going to stop building cars here in America. You're not going to shift the production from Mexico or China to America. That's what Trump's saying. I mean, this is a company that which I didn't agree with the way they did it, but I was agree with them bailing it out because they make something. You know, the way they did it was, you know, they screwed bondholders. They put the union ahead of the bondholders, and the union should have been below the bondholders. But
Greg, let me ask you a question about this, because Mel and I were talking before you come on. Why does the government take our money and subsidize any business? That business is making a break on their own.
In this case, this is probably what helped Obama win the 2012 election. Because he, you know, the way they did it was awful. I mean, they subsidized the pensions, benefits of the unions. They put the union was the first in line type creditor type thing. They gave them more priority than the bondholders. Now the bondholders would have, you know, in a perfect bondholder world, would just, you know, destroy the company and cut up the assets and get their money, as much of their money back as they could. But they didn't allow that to happen. And so I think they should have helped General Motors, because they build something, they make something, they make a product we can export. And but the way they did it was, I wasn't, you know, the union should have taken a pie in the face. I mean, they, you know, when you, I don't, I'm all for unions. I'm all for public private unions. You know, you want to go after the products, profits of a company. You want to collectively bargain, no problem. But if you kill that company, you're a partner. You're not wham, 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 we're labor, and, you know, you have to keep, you're a partner. And I'm totally against private public unions, you know, the trash workers and you know, cops. And I'm totally against those unions because there's no profits. There's just taxpayers. That's why I'm totally against those unions. FDR was against public unions as well.
I agree. Totally.
But if you want to go after somebody, okay, I get it. Okay, collective bargaining, fine, but you better be bargaining in good faith. You better not kill the company. And I think the General Motors CEO got a $20 million payout for bankrupting the company. He should have gotten zero.
That's right.
He should have gotten zero. So, anyway. Anyway, so
well,
I hope Mary Barra will.
But what's behind this, Greg? What's behind this? I mean, they just don't, you know, close plants and so forth that people are buying their vehicles. From what I understand, that they're going to quit the, I'm not sure how much tax credits they get and so forth, but they're going to quit the Volt, which is their, you know, battery operated electric vehicle, and focus on more
SUV
electric and hybrids. It doesn't make sense.
Well, you know, I hope that Trump can. You don't want the kind of negative publicity that Donald Trump will deliver to General Motors. I mean, she has to be thinking long and hard. Maybe we can pare this back a little bit. You know, let's come up. We have some face saving something to get us off, get him off. Maybe we can keep the Impala. Maybe we can shift some of our production from Mexico to here. Maybe we can shift the production from Canada to here. You know, they're closing a plant in Canada. They're closing five plants. Mm-hmm. Four of them are in the United States. You know, maybe we can shift some of our production from Mexico.
15,000 jobs is a big hit on a lot of families.
Well, this isn't 15,000 $10 an hour jobs.
No, it's not.
This is 15,000 when you count all the benefits and the perks and the pension and matching and 401k and sick days and holidays and medical insurance. This is probably a $70,000, $80,000 a pop job.
At least, yeah.
At least. You probably, a floor sweeper probably makes, you know, 50, 60 grand a year. So,
well,
this is these are some heavy, and they're laying off a bunch of white collar jobs, but they're laying off, you know, a bunch of, you know, union jobs. I don't understand how the unions vote for Democrats. They're like they're in a cult. You realize that the Democrats don't really care about you. You realize that they've turned globalist, right? They want to import all kinds of illegal labor, and they're all for the open, wide open borders and no ICE. This is the Democrats.
Well, you mentioned the union. The union said they're not going to let it happen. I just wonder if they can stop it if you want to.
I don't know if they can do that. I think the biggest power chip they have, the unions, is, and you know, the leaders will tell all their guys to vote for Democrats, and the rank and file all vote for Trump.
Right.
I mean, nobody's that stupid. Their union leaders are bought off. I always thought, too, that when you call the strike, you don't get paid. Excuse me? You get your ass out here on the line. You get $44 a day strike pay. That's what you get. You're not gonna call a strike, and then you're going to get your $120,000, $30,000 a year. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no. No, no, no. You call that strike, you get what the strike guys get. You get what the union gets.
I totally agree.
So I was in a steelworkers union. You know, I'm not totally anti-union. I'm totally anti, you know, the city of Greensboro, North Carolina, where I live, where we're going to be in a union. So you're just going to go after taxpayers. I'm totally against that.
Right.
Because there's no profits. There's just taxpayers. So anyway, well, I think it's horrible. I think that Mary Barra should really think about this. I mean, if you look at a stock on GM chart, okay, and they made this announcement, and it skyrockets up. And then after Trump starts tweeting, back down to about where it started. I mean, this isn't a one and done for him, Mary. You know that, right?
Right. Right.
He's on their ass.
He was bragging on her, you know, a while back and how good she was doing. I don't understand what changed here, and you're right. Why don't they cut back production in other countries and let us keep on building here? After all,
well,
this is where she lives.
Some kind of negotiation to save some face.
Well, she's going to do
something. I can't believe they can't sell the Impala. I cannot believe they can't sell that car. At one factory, I can't believe they can't have one factory making that car.
That's been a top-of-the-line car all my life and probably longer.
The Impala, the, I don't know, 13, 14, whatever the last change was the best. I got one of them, and it's the, and I've had the 00, the 03. I'm a Chevy guy, you know, bought them all used. But actually, the 15 I have was a demo. But it's the best car they've ever made. It's the best Chevy Impala they've ever made by a country mile. It's really a Cadillac. Anyway, so I just think I think she's stupid if she doesn't revisit this and try to pare this back.
Well,
I really
do,
because what it will cost her, it will not save her money, it will cost her. It will cost her dearly, because he's not going to back off, and it just ain't going to happen. I mean, she better find a way to pare that back.
Maybe that was the whole deal. Now she can go to him and ask for more subsidies, ask for more tax breaks and so forth. If you do this, I'll do that. And, you know, they'll come up with an agreement and so forth.
Well,
maybe that was
But he's showing her how painful this is going to be. And the entire bounce, and the top management gets paid in stock. They don't, their salary is diddly squat.
Right.
Stock is everything. The entire bounce was destroyed. Almost completely destroyed from the time they did it, from the time he started tweeting, to the close of business. They lost all the goodies that they were going to get out of that. And I was reading one analyst going, you know, this is dangerous. They're kind of like, you know, going all in on trucks and SUVs and some electric car and self-driving. They're going to do away with all these. I mean, you know, that could really put them at a disadvantage if this thing swings back out of people get sick of the SUV. I mean, remember disco? That was great. Everybody was doing it. Everybody's getting the clog shoes and bell-bottom pants and sparkly clothes. And, you know, and then, you know, 6 months, you know, a couple of years later, they were having I Hate Disco and blowing up stacks of disco records at baseball games. Remember that?
Well, gasoline prices. As long as gasoline prices stay within the range, people do love big vehicles.
What happens if somebody drops a nuke somewhere and all of a sudden there's a supply disruption?
That's right.
Gasoline. I mean, you know what the Houthis are doing in Yemen, which they never like the bleeding heart liberals never want to talk about. The Iranians are funding terrorists, and that's on the Mandeb Strait, which is a choke point going into the Suez Canal. What would happen then?
Yep.
I mean, you know, they could do a double whammy. They could stop at the Strait of Hormuz, which would make traffic very tenuous because it's only 20 miles wide at the Mandeb Strait and 30 miles wide at the Strait of Hormuz. And, you know, what happens if that? You start living in a fragile world here, boys and girls.
Break time.
It is great. We're heading into a break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. We'll be right back right after these few short messages.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We have Greg Hunter of USAWatchdog.com joining us today. And heading into the break, we were talking about unions and GM. And I think Butch has another question for you. I think we're changing
Greg,
the
if you
topic.
Don't mind.
We're changing the topic. Yes.
Well, it's a little change of topic, but it's very important and interesting. You know what's going on, of course, on the border, especially right now in Tijuana.
Yes.
And I watched an MSNBC report where a reporter actually told the truth for change. He took them right into the camp where there were a few tents of women and children. Then he took them outside this sort of nucleus here, and it was all young men. I didn't see old men. I didn't see any teenage boys much. Mostly 20s, 30s year old men. And they're at the border. Now, the Tijuana citizens want them out of there. Mexico wants them out of there. They want them sent back. I'm actually saying
70%
that.
70% of Mexicans hate the migrants. They don't like them.
They do. So, but people still think we should open the doors here for them here. And I don't
Absolutely
know how
not.
American citizens, American people, not all of them, thank God, but a bunch of them are dumber than rocks. You know, they think we can
I got family members that are in the union, and they think that the Democrats are still union people, and they're not. They're globalists.
No, they're not.
They're globalists. The union person is the guy in the White House now. He's the guy trying to save jobs. He's trying to save union jobs, incidentally. He's trying to save UAW jobs.
Well, if they open up the borders for all these caravans, thousands and thousands and thousands come in here, and they let them in, some of them may be coming to better themselves. That's good. If they come in legally, that's fine.
That's the question.
But to come across the border in force and come in try to live off us and rob us, we have to say no. That is not.
This is the globalists. This is their plan.
This took
a lot of time to put together. You can't send 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 people with no food, water, drink, ways to go to the bathroom, ways to sleep. This was George Soros. This is the globalists. This is the New World Order people, the deep state. This is this. This is all this stuff. This is these people.
I agree.
That's what this is.
Yes.
Let's call
yes.
it what it is.
Well, I hope Trump will stick to his word and close the borders down if he has to. I mean, literally close them down. So this is sorted out.
Well, Mexico's feeling the heat on this, and they thought that these people would pass right on through and we'd keep them on our side of the border, and that didn't happen. And so this is, in a way, kind of punishing, Mexico.
I agree.
This is punishing them, and their own people are saying, what are you doing? They could have stopped this. This is, Mexico's is by far more powerful than Guatemala, all the other Honduras, all the other countries down there, by far.
Mexico could have stopped them on their own southern border.
They sure could have, and they didn't. And they didn't try to.
So they have no excuse.
They should have. It's a thing of war down there. you know what the fines are for illegally coming into Mexico?
Yep.
You try to go to Mexico and see what happens illegally. You spend 2 years. I think that the minimum fine is 2 years in a federally prison. We're not talking about a club fed. We're talking about, hard time in a federal prison. So yeah. it's...
I just wonder what you may have thought about that and what you think is going to be the outcome of this.
I think it's going to solidify even more people who think we should have a wall. And I, you know, Congress should have got this done in the last 2 years, and of course they didn't. And of course, you know, that little weasel, Paul Ryan, some people are mad at me for using the word weasel, talking about the outgoing Speaker of the House. He flipped the House to the Democrats. He left multiple open seats open. What's her name? Romney, the head of McDaniel, the head of the RNC, didn't fund the races. They had 36 open races as of August of 2016. Now, I don't know a lot about the whole political spectrum, but if you're trying to win, wouldn't you have had people in those positions and wouldn't have empty holes 90 days before, you know, the most important midterm ever? And then she didn't fund them. McDaniels didn't fund them. The head of the RNC, she should be fired.
Well, she probably did what she was told.
Republicans don't want to hear this, but they didn't just lose. They had help on the deep state rhino side. Thank you, Paul Ryan, you treasonous little weasel, who doesn't want a wall but has a 7-foot wall around his house, who thinks it's great to bring in all kinds of Muslim refugees while he sends his kid to Catholic school.
Yep.
I mean, you know. You know, in my town, you know, these people don't want to fit in. They got their eyes poking out of a hijab, which, you know, you want to have that culture, you should have that over there. But if you want to come over here, fit in. Assimilate. You know, they're leaving this horrible, they're refugees, and they want to bring the same awful culture that they're running from over here.
That's
I don't hate
true.
To sound this way, but
that's true.
You know, that's the deal.
Well, this is an invasion that affects all of us. Now, I live in West Virginia. I'm not near the border, but it still affects me because my tax dollars are taken away from me. Supporting
right.
this, it affects me. It makes me angry. I did not volunteer my funds to support illegal immigrants.
I'm surprised Joe Manchin made it. The Democrats must have one hell of a machine up there in West Virginia for him to make it. I'm surprised.
It was amazing to me that on the lower level, the Republicans made it. With Manchin, he made it. And the only thing he says, West Virginians, if this was a lawful, legal vote, I can't say that for sure. But if it was, West Virginians are kind of people that would get used to a name. They don't like to change. Now, that's a fact. So, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I know both these men personally. Both of them are weasels. I'll tell you now. I met Morrissey. He's maybe more of a weasel in some ways than Manchin. But I voted for him because he said he's going to stand for the Amendment 1 to stop murdering children with taxpayer dollars. Period on federal money. Now that's why I voted for him. He didn't make it, obviously. But I know both these men personally, and Morrissey is a little weasel.
It's sad, actually. You know, it's kind of sad.
It is sad.
You know, Democrat, you can't be a Democrat anymore and be a objection. You can have no objection to abortion. This is according to party leaders, incidentally. I'm surprised. You know, I'll tell you something else. I talked to Democrats, and I'm shocked by how little they know about their party, their cult.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to one guy who's voting for Democrats. Well, you know, it's run by a Marxist. Oh, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. Tom Perez was a law's attorney. That's Marxism at its best right there. I said, this is a black guy. Nice guy. I said, yeah, then you have Keith Ellison, who's partial to the terrorist group, the Muslim Brotherhood. He says, well, I don't really look at that. That's not the people that I support. I said, yeah, you support them. This is who's running the party. This isn't what I think. This is a fact. You know, I mean, Tom Perez said Ocasio-Cortez, a usual social democrat, which, you know, they don't want to say that Nazism came from socialism, okay? National socialist. Hey,
that's
Democrats,
right.
You own that.
Mm-hmm.
That. You own that. That's yours. KKK, also your invention. You own that, too.
Well,
this socialism, and it's never going to work, and it never has worked. And look at look at Europe. I mean, everybody wants to say, look at Venezuela. Well, look at Europe. I mean, Europe is coming undone.
Yes, it is.
It is.
I mean, you know, now they're going to fine the EU. They're going to double down on the stuff that got everybody pissed, and they're going to fine now Italy. And Italy ain't Greece.
I agree.
And, you know, you might get to a point where the whole country says, F it. We're going back to the Italian lira. Yeah, we'll have inflation, but we'll have our sovereignty. We're done. And there's not really any of those countries, France, that have, they don't have much of a military. Germany, ditto. Spain, zippo. The only country with any sizable military is Great Britain. That is the only one. In May, you talk about surrender. You talk about what somebody called it, a Briton called it an S sandwich, you know, of a deal, you know, where they, it's all the bad things about it and no voting power, and they're going to stay, and they have to stay, and then they have to agree to leave, then the European Union has to agree to let them leave when the time's up, when the deal's concluded. If I was there, I'd say, listen, folks, we're out. We're done. We're out. We're not paying you your $39 billion. We're out. Now, if you would like to conduct trade, we'd like to cut some deals with you. But I don't see how the European Union is even going to make it. I mean, there. Then you got Merkel on the other end saying, you know, everybody has to give up their sovereignty to the EU. Woo. You know, there's still a lot of nationalism in France and Germany and Italy, and there's still a lot of people that, you know, like their countries.
But the French president said that the nationalism is not patriotic. You know that.
He's a Rothschild globalist banker. What do you expect?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I mean, you know, what do you expect?
Totally agree.
I have Bill Holter on it tonight. I don't mean to be a, it's just something to talk about, right? And nobody is talking about this, but if there isn't ever a sure sign that the game is running out, this is it. And, you know, late last year, 17, Dr. Mark Skidmore came out, and he's a professor of economics, an expert in public budgets. He and a team of people at Michigan State University discovered that there was, you know, 21 missing trillion dollars at the Department of Defense and the Housing and Urban Development. Now, the DOD's own paperwork, own in writing paperwork, said they couldn't find 6.7 or 8, something like that, almost nearly $7 trillion. Okay, I mean, it's the number's so big, it's whatever. But it's something in that neighborhood, 6.7, 8, 9 trillion, something like almost $7 trillion, not quite. And he's come up with $21 trillion missing dollars. And this was, they got this on Inspector General reports. They went through all the Inspector General reports for the Office of Inspector General. There's an Inspector General for every single department, you know, Housing and Urban Development, for Department of Defense, Education. There's an OIG for every one of them. And there's an OIG, that's what Horowitz is, at the Justice Department. Okay. So the long and short of it is, 21 missing trillion, and so I had Rob Kirby on, and, you know, we just kind of stumbled onto this, and I said, you know, Rob, a lot of people, good people, smart people, people like Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Treasury Secretary, he invented trickle-down economics, smart, good, well-meaning people, not trying to screw people over, got this wrong, that this should have blown up, a long time ago. He said, yeah, well, sure. He says, and, you know, here's why. We know how they got it, how they did it now. They printed more money than anybody could wrap their head around, and then they fed it into the vertical end of the money creation of the curve to buy the bonds. You know that people have just almost nearly stopped buying our debt.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. We are at the Puerto Rico moment. I have Bill Holter, and he says, well, we've reached peak debt. I said, well, you know, have we reached the Puerto Rico moment? I mean, Puerto Rico owed $74 billion. I've been talking about this. I've told you this about this, and I'm using it as an example. And they owed $74 billion. It's, you know, 3 million people. It's totally fraudulent, really. North Carolina has 10 million people, and they owe $4 billion. And Puerto Rico has 3 million people and owed $74 billion of fraud. The leaders voted themselves in 2016, and then they defaulted on the debt in 2017. Okay? Then they had this horrible hurricane, and they couldn't figure out why. Nobody would loan them money. And people stayed in the dark for almost a year. That's one of the main reasons why. They couldn't get capital financing. They couldn't get anything. They couldn't get collateral. They couldn't, you know. And the long and short of it is this. I mean, the Puerto Rico reached a moment where they could keep the lights on and keep the toilets flushing and keep the trash picked up, or they could pay bondholders. What are they? What do you think the political leaders decided to do?
Yeah.
And that's where we are in the world. We're going to hit the Puerto Rico moment, where this debt's not going to be paid back, and we're not going to have money to service even the low interest rates. I mean, they don't have the money. I mean, Puerto Rico's debt probably didn't top 3%. And you know, even though it was a super low rate, they couldn't make the interest payment, a little principal and interest. They couldn't make any payments. That's what I'm saying. And according to Bill Holter, he says people are saying that this is going to blow up. This is already blown up. We already reached peak debt. They can't issue any more bonds. We've had failed auctions at the Treasury that nobody's talking about. Yeah. You know, who's buying the bonds? That's the question. That you know, Rob Kirby, who deals in tonnage of gold for people, he doesn't do what you do, Melody. He's people with billions of dollars. There's this unbelievable amount of money lined up to buy gold, and he doesn't know if it's that much of it at this point. Any new stuff's going to get done? They throw up all kinds of roadblocks. They used to be in the Western world and the North American continent, you could buy gold. Now he says all of a sudden roadblocks have come up. We don't want to open an account. We don't want to make the transition. We don't want to do this. You know, all these roadblocks that come up. He says it's already been just about depleted in the rest of the world, in Asia and the Middle East, that they just can't find it. And this is a guy that does this for a living, right? And so the long and short is we've reached the Puerto Rico, and this is my own term, I guess, that we've reached the Puerto Rico moment. What's going to happen to all this debt? And then on top of it, and this is what Manarino brought up, and I said, you know, the $21 trillion, he said, well, let me tell you something, Greg, there, buddy. It ain't dollar for dollar. It ain't a dollar for dollar deal. It's a derivative thing. And Bill Holter, who's on tonight, said the same thing. He says, oh, it's an exponent. It's, what is it, 10X, 20X, 30X times the 20 trillion? Who knows? I mean, who knows? This is how scary this is. And I, you know, people are just in this la-la world that when this thing goes south, it's going to hit so hard and so fast that people are going to be stunned. Now, I'm hoping that the president and his cabinet know this. You know, I had Mark Skidmore on my show, and 4 days afterwards they had this DOD audit. And they failed the audit. Oh, well. Biggest branch of government, biggest spending yep. branch of government yep. in the United States government, and they failed the audit. No, everything we do is a national security issue. Really? So now fraud is now a national security issue.
Isn't that convenient?
What could go wrong with that? What could go wrong? People are like, you're a gold bug. Would you please tell me what asset you could have that's not issued by a central bank? That you could put in your pocket. You can't put land in your pocket. You can't put Renoir in your pocket. You can't take a Renoir and split it down the middle. And you know what? I'm going to give you this little quarter, this little piece of my Renoir. Is that okay? And I'm going to give you a little piece of it. I'm going to give you a little piece of it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
You could pack, you know, $100 million into a Renoir, but you can't spend it.
There you go.
With that thought, we're going to be heading into a break. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We're here with Greg Hunter of USAWatchdog.com. Please make sure you visit the website and please support Greg. He does an awesome job in bringing us the truth. So we got to keep it going, and we do so appreciate his support of Discount Gold and Silver. And I know we were talking about the economy, and that's what I want to continue to talk about, but we're in the last segment of the program, and what do you think all of this coming out with Roger Stone and Corsi?
Oh, my God, I'm glad you brought that up.
Of course, yeah.
What is going on?
Here's what I want to say. Did you hear, I watched Corsi, who's written 20-something books. I mean, they're making him out to be some conspiracy theorist kook, which he's not. Okay?
No, he is.
And they are doing everything they can. This is my summation. Everything they can to tie Donald Trump to WikiLeaks, to the Russians hacking, which they didn't, as the Seth Rich did. I mean, Bill Binney, who's an NSA, former NSA top guy at the NSA, said that there's no way they could have hacked it because the download speeds were too slow. There's a marker on the data that shows how fast it was downloaded. The data was downloaded by a memory stick, something to that, by that direct contact, not through the internet. You couldn't get but a quarter of that speed through the internet. So they directly downloaded that. It was not hacked. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's totally bogus, and they never did get a hold of the servers. I mean, this is the seat of the crime. Did the FBI and Mueller ever try to get a hold of the servers? No. And then the, you know, Obama administration, you know, Johnson, who was at the DHS, Division of Homeland Security, said, well, they wouldn't give it to us. FBI, they wouldn't give us the server. Really? You don't put your little FBI jacket on, execute a warrant, walk in with guns out of your holsters and say, we're taking those. You're going to stop us. We got to fight going. Oh, no. Yeah, we don't want to give you the service. Okay. We're going to have our own third party look at them. Okay. FBI, Homeland Security. Oh, okay, DNC. Okay. Yeah. Total bogus. So now, fast forward to Jerome Corsi. He comes out on, I saw about One American News, and said, I'm not going to lie. They tried to have me in a room for 40 hours. I'm paraphrasing. But I'm going to get most of it right. I'm going to get it pretty close. They had me in a room for 40 hours. They were stomping it out of the room. They wanted me to lie. I'm not going to lie. You can put me in jail for the rest of my life. I'm not going to admit to a crime I didn't commit. He gave them all the passwords, his computers. He gave them everything, and they're telling me, which is total, you know, totally working with it. They said I didn't, they also had the Guardian UK. They're employing, you know, the fake propaganda media, which came out this morning, said Manafort, our sources say Manafort. Met with Assange. Manafort's threatening to sue. They've totally backpedaled on it. The Guardian UK, you know, more propaganda news media. They're trying everything they can to tie Donald Trump to anybody any way they can. They were going to seal the Corsi indictment. They weren't going to prosecute him. They were going to seal the indictment. And Corsi basically turned the table on them and said, you know, they were asking me to support, they were trying to suborn perjury. They were telling me that I could lie to the SEC about my license to trade, that there was going to be a sealed indictment, and I wouldn't have to tell them. He says, they're telling me to commit perjuries. You know, the whole thing with the Guardian UK, that man They're trying to cryo balloon anything they could do, Roger Stone, anything they can force these people, and they've run into a real hardcore, hard shell couple of guys that aren't going to lie. And anything they can to wrap up this report and hang it on Donald Trump, and I think Mueller is going to get creamed for this. And I think Whitaker is open the door, wide open for Whitaker to call in all the Mueller team and say, "What are you doing? You're threatening people with these bogus guilty pleas, and they're not going to Manafort's going to sue. Of course, he said he's going to sue. Roger Stone, I don't think he's going to roll over. There's nothing there. There's no there there. They're trying to make up some sort of attachment to Donald Trump and any of the people who know him or work with him. Of course, he even said, my crime is I knew Donald Trump and supported him. That's my crime.
Yep, he said that. Yes, he did.
Yeah. So Mueller looks, and then you have Dershowitz, a big-time Democrat. Dershowitz, a number of credible witnesses Mueller has are shrinking. The number of credible witnesses Mueller has are shrinking by the day. There's no there there. There is no Russian collusion. They're trying to make up some kind of a bogus case that Trump was involved with WikiLeaks, and they're still sticking with the story that it came from Russia. And Assange, who's released all kinds of documents, has never been caught in a lie, is saying that's not true. And he also says Manafort never talked to me either. I don't know him. Manafort says the same thing. I don't know Julian Assange. I never talked to him or anybody that knows him. So basically Mueller has rolled snake eyes for how long has this been going on for? For him, about a year and a half. The investigation going on a year before that. He got nothing, zero, nuka, nada.
Well, how long can they drag this out?
Well, well, now that Matt Whitaker is in there, it's coming to an end. I mean, now he's, and of course he, like what Corsi, they weren't expecting this old guy, Corsi, 72 at home. When I say old guy, in other words, they perceive him as a weak old man, and he's not so weak. He may be old, but you could put me in jail forever. I'm not lying. That opens the door wide open for Whitaker to come in and say, what are you doing? And they did this in front of Corsi's attorneys, incidentally.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, they didn't do it him one-on-one. He didn't talk to him without his attorney present. And I think another person, too. I think there's three in there on their side of the table. And that just shows me they're desperate. And remember, this declassification is going to be devastating, which is coming. And this is going to show, this is declassification of the FISA applications. They used Hillary Clinton, paid for DNC. She owned the DNC. She bought it for $20 million. This is according to Donna Brazile. That's a fact. That's not what I think. She, in her book, said she bought it. She took over total control of the DNC. She paid Perkins Coie they paid for this dossier. Totally false. They call it undocumented. It's false. It's bogus. That's what it is. It's not unverified. It's bogus. It's fraudulent. And they applied for warrants at the FISA court, and which is another big giant fraud on the court, to spy on Trump and his people. This is treason. This is sedition. Fraud, obstruction of justice. This is unbelievable amount of crime, and when this comes out, there are people going to go to jail. This Mueller investigation should have never been impaneled. You had Lisa Page, the top attorney at the FBI, said in testimony in Congress that there was no Russian collusion established when Mueller was impaneled. That means the whole thing is illegitimate because he's supposed to prosecute a crime. There was no crime. I'm not even an attorney, and I know that. That's not what I think. That's a fact.
Let me ask you a question. What does Mueller expect to gain out of this?
Well, he was involved in the Uranium One deal. I mean, they had by the name of Dennis Campbell that he had as an informant for 6 years, 5 years. He had 5,000 pages of documents. He had eyewitness testimony. He had video of this fraud of Uranium One that got transferred to the Russians. And he had an inside source, this guy Campbell, testified to three different congressional committees. And Mueller didn't stop it, which means he's a traitor.
Mm.
He was in charge of it. a six-year undercover agent. He had him cold busted. He had espionage. He had. There was a name for it. It was called Operation Dominate or Dominance. I think that's what it was. It's just a fraud, espionage, racketeering, treason. You name it. This was going on, and they got it approved. CFIUS, the group of nine. You think if Mueller were to come out and said, wow, we have an informant, and he's got video and tape, and the Russians are behind this. This is real Russian espionage, folks. And Mueller was the head of the FBI then. What is Russia? What is he? And also, in this case, Rob Rosenstein was also basically at the Justice Department working on this case. He didn't stop it either. Nobody stopped it. But Hillary Clinton and company got at least $145 million in the Clinton Fraud Foundation.
True. Wow.
So you've heard the president talk about go back to the Clinton Foundation.
Yes.
Well, he's intimating
that
as a big fraud test.
Hey,
Kel Bell, you're not 14 anymore, honey. You're 36 or 8 or however old you are. You're an adult running a charity fraud.
So why doesn't the administration come out and do some sort of a, investigation into the foundation and so forth? Everybody talks about it, but it doesn't get done.
Well, there was Jeff Sessions there now. He wanted to recuse himself.
Well, Whitaker's there now.
He did. Hi, I'm going to take a job that I can't do. He should have immediately stepped down. He says that, I didn't know this was going to be this way. I'm going to step down. They should have replaced him with somebody that didn't have to recuse himself and put Rod Rosenstein, who was both a witness and an overseer in a case. He was terribly conflicted, but that's not a really big problem, according to the mainstream press or anybody else. Rob Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, should have stepped down. And so what does all this mean? Woo, boy. What did Mark Armstrong say? You don't buy gold for deflation or inflation, although it works great in the extremes. You buy gold as a hedge against government instability. You think the government might become a little unstable if they start arresting people for treason, which they surely did? Do you think they might get a little unstable? The guys over in the UK and Australia, don't release these documents. It'll expose our methods and proceed. It'll expose you for the treason you committed, UK. And, who are they protecting? I'd say they're protecting Theresa May. She should be in jail. She allowed her spy services to try to undermine a duly elected president, and also during the election. Remember Judge Napolitano, who said that they got involved, and they did, both in Australia and in the UK, MI6. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you're saying, why aren't they doing this? This is a big deal, Melody. And you know what?
Yeah,
this has been going on since the Kennedy administration, at least.
No, at least.
We had a change of power. I do not believe the official story. I don't believe it. I think it's a lie. If it's not a lie, then release all the autopsy photos. There you go. Let's just start there. Let's just do it simple. That's just a guy with a gun, right? Just one guy, right? Release the unredacted Warren Commission report, which would probably get more questions than they care to do, is why it's redacted for another 25 years, because it's just one guy with a gun. Really?
What's the big deal, right?
Got it's just one guy with a gun, right?
Right.
As Lee Harvey Oswald was screaming out, going in, I remember hearing this as a kid, I'm a patsy. I asked my dad. I was 7 years old. My dad's watching this. He never looked at me when he answered. He just looked at the TV, right? And he just looked at the TV, and I said, Dad, what's that mean? What's a patsy? What's he saying? And he just sat there for what seemed like, 5 minutes, but it was probably about 30 or 40 seconds, and just sat there, never looked at me and went, he's saying he didn't do it.
And I agree.
Right?
Ditto. Yep.
Oh, and the guy that shot him died of cancer. Oh, yeah. No. Just a coincidence. Yeah, we don't know where the autopsy photos are. Really? You don't have any of them? Really? Yeah, we still have this Warren Commission. Because they screwed up. They stuck enough stuff in there that if they declassified it, there'd be, whoops, what do you mean? Huh? What? Right?
Right.
They had to fabricate. We had a change of government without an election. That's what we had. And Lyndon Johnson, Mr. Welfare, was in 4 years and decided he wouldn't be president anymore. So whatever. I mean,
Johnson, of course, was in on this. We all know that too.
Well,
of course
he was. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know that.
I don't believe the official story,
and there's a lot of holes in it.
Let's just default to my
main default position. This is a simple premise. Let's see all the autopsy and all the photos. You didn't throw them away. It's the only president to be shot in the head since Lincoln. You didn't throw them all away. Let's see all the pictures. It's just a guy with a gun, right?
Yeah.
It's just one guy, right? That's what you're telling me, lone gunman. And let's see the. Let's start by unredacting the Warren Commission report. Let's do that. There you go. Let's start there. I think that would blow the whole thing wide open.
Well, it would, but that's not going to happen, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's just a very simple premise. Let's see all the autopsy photos. We had cameras back there in 1963. We had cameras, folks. We had White House press photographers and all kinds of other people. What they weren't expecting was this Zapruder film. Oops. Whoops. Uh-oh. Oh. Row. You know, so. But Dershowitz says that Alan Dershowitz, the big time Democrat, is saying that this is basically that Mueller's case is really crumbling. They're not going to be able to tie Trump to the Russians because he didn't do it. Not because he's so clever, because he didn't do it. And they're trying to fabricate it to get somebody to make a plea deal so they can bend that around in his report to make it look like and cast doubt on that Trump is a big, Russian spy. Which is preposterous and bogus when indeed these people, filed for FISA spy warrants with fraudulent documents. What about all the unmasking that Samantha Powers did at the UN? I mean, you unmasked more. Why? To embarrass and try to put the idea out that Trump's some kind of Russian agent when Hillary Clinton and the Democrats bought Russian.
Hey, Greg, we're out of time. I wish we had another hour to go on. I want to thank you for joining me today, as you do every month. Again, ladies and gentlemen, visit USAWatchdog.com. Thank you once again. And which I guess I'll talk to you on
Thursday. See you Thursday, Greg. You take care.
Alrighty.
See you later.
Go around and have a ball.